running out.
Lizard, your life force is running out.
Everybody say it with me now, geeks in the house.
Wizard needs food badly.
Now my impression's all wrong. 503-733-2970. There's a Vizo in the fridge. Thank you, Scotty. Trying to figure out if I want to drink the Vizo now or if I want to save it for later and have coffee. Wait, now.
How many caffeinated ones are there in there?
Well, it's all vigor and will,
I think. Yeah, it looks like
all vigor and will.
Look, both have caffeine, right?
Yeah, I think he knows better than to bring anything non-caffeinated.
I know.
It's 503-733. Look, I'm sure that decaf is fine, you know. It's all well and good that decaf exists, but I wouldn't want my sister to marry one. That's all I'm saying. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see, what are we doing? Well, we got this horrible penis story coming up. Right there. Top five for Scotty J. Top five songs. What is this? Top five who songs? Is that how you're phrasing it? All right. From Scotty J. Later on, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Ladies and gentlemen, from Los Angeles. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. CNN Radio correspondent to the stars and living God, James Roop. Hello, sir. James Roop. Roop. Hi. Okay. I don't think James Roop is there, Scotty. I'm pretty sure he's not there. Okay. Let me just hang up the phone and stare at it for a second. Yeah, it doesn't really appear to be working. All right. Well, and I can't even go to the popcorn bed because I can't play the popcorn bed because it's being taken up with, the popcorn slot is being taken up with this. Oh, now this isn't playing either. Nothing's working. Oh, for the love of God. My whole computer's going crazy. All right.
What are the most difficult problems he or she will face in 2008?
There you go. Why don't we just ask Osama bin Laden, Osama Obama, what is, since right. He won by such a big...
All right, well, there you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970. All right, we're going to take a break here anyway. Not an actual break, but we're going to pause while I walk to the coffee machine. Stay right there. I was just lamenting during the break that I hadn't gotten any caffeine. It's 503-7, thank you, I feel better. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So just for a while, we'll talk to our good friend, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop, I think is otherwise occupied at the moment. Talk to him in a few. We will revisit the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley. Top 5 with Scotty J. Scott Daly from FilmPeopleRadio.com and so forth. Let's see here. This is Chris on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hi, Rick. This is Chris. Yes. I was calling about the whole potato famine thing and not fishing in the waters.
Yes.
The reason they didn't go and fish is because the waters were English waters and it was illegal for them to fish. And if they were captured, they'd be put in jail.
Really?
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes along with it. Like, they had corn crops, but the Irish were required to send those crops to England.
So... really, at the beginning of this program, can I just tell you this? At the beginning of this program, I had no notion that I was going to be talking about the Irish potato famine. Really, it's not a thing, especially since St. Patrick's Day was like a week ago. This is not a thing I ever anticipated. This really is a knowing is half the battle kind of a thing. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
There you go. See how it was easy to do that without being a humorless ass? See how that was? You see how easy that was? I don't even remember the name of that guy who called earlier. See how he was able to do that without being a big raging dick about it? It's honestly just that simple, ass. It's 503-733-2970. Okay, I'll read this penis thing in a minute, and then we'll do these emails and so forth. And we might actually just break it, come back into the Ministry of Truth here in a few, because Scotty's going to try to wrangle Jim Roop. So I'll get through this kind of stacked up stuff. We'll break here in a few. If we haven't talked to Jim Roop, but we'll come back and we'll do the Ministry of Truth. Rick, about your secret phrase. Your secret phrase is a sentence from a book? How dull are you? I was hoping your... Sorry. I was hoping your secret for this is the phrase that my wife and I have. And I have to note here repeatedly and for the record. This is not because I believe in like a bunch of after-death mumbo-jumbo, but it's because I think she read that Houdini had this phrase. So he could verify after death that his wife was actually communicating with him through a medium or whatever. It was some sort of, it was like a shibboleth kind of a thing. I was hoping your secret phrase was either Tina Yather thinks I'm autistic or he places the small round object in his mouth. I can't find that Michael Jackson cut. I don't even know where it went.
That was the best thing ever.
I got to find it. It's around there somewhere. Rick, is Lara's phrase ditto? Oh, is that from Ghost? Is that what it is in Ghost?
Yes.
Yeah. Yours is probably Love Gun. That's... here's another one. Rick, I bet your secret phrase is ditto. And it'll be set on Wake Up with Whoopi while they make pottery to Unchained Melody. No, sir. Let's see.
Can I guess the author of the book that you picked it from?
Sure.
Douglas Copeland.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I really thought
sure.
that you would pick something from Microsurfs.
No, it's not. See, that's the thing, is you would think. See, so this is a charlatan's will that way. They would be thrown off. You won't be able to pull the carpet over anybody's eyes.
It's.
I'm not even going to see. You've used up your one guess.
Okay.
No, because I can't point people in the right direction here, because then she'll be hornswoggled after I'm dead. There's no can't go revealing that, and I'm undoubtedly going to die before she does. That's just a foregone conclusion. What with the cancer and the garbage disposals and so forth. Rick, about the Irish, are you saying they don't have a pot to fish in? All right, that's not even. I'm not even going to play the laughter there. Rick, about polyps. Regarding polyps. Let's see. There should be a brand new garbage pail kid. Polyp Abdul. Okay. I'm going to read two more. Then this penis story.
And I get one more guess.
Then we get maybe. Rick. Oh, here we go. This is the other thing we got to do. Thank you, sir. This is the other thing we have to do. We've talked about names for Listener Party 6. It's coming up Thursday, April 19th. Rick, a new name, Listener Party 10, Bathe Easy. No, sir. Let's see. How about this? We have Rick. The new incinerator is going to wreak havoc with the new incinerator does bones as well. It literally will eat your bones. I mean, yours, the chickens, whatever. Rick, the new incinerator is going to wreak havoc with the Thanksgiving news cycle. For the past 8 years of your show, you've had the Thanksgiving soundbite story that says enough to shove an entire turkey down the disposal. Now, what story are we going to have other than the obligatory story about how your toilet pipes are going to be overworked? And about the guy who sawed off his ex-girlfriend's fingertips in the disposal, I had forgotten all about that. I shoved that way down into the recesses of my memory. What with all the many schoolyard beatings I received as a child. We had a guy call up in the first hour of the show who... We'll have to play it back, actually, because it was pretty funny. He called, and he was talking about this girl that he was dating at the time, who had been fishing around in the garbage disposal with her hand for, like, a ring or something. And he said, well, why don't you turn on the light? And I believe he punctuated it by calling her dummy. I think he actually said, well, dummy, why don't you turn on the light? He said, reaching for the switch that actually turned on the garbage disposal. I shouldn't be laughing. And as he put it, she now just has four pinkies on that hand. She doesn't really have, the rest of the fingers are not so much there. And the creepy thing about that is a guy actually sent me like an x-ray, like a diagram of your hand, and the bones really do go all the way to the tips there. So that must have been, I mean, she either kept that hand down there a good long time, or that was a brand new top-of-the-line garbage disposal. Anyway, he says, about the guy who sawed off his girlfriend's fingertips in the disposal. It was a very like-us-like moment when he hung up, like that Sue chick who called his show while he was in Portland and confessed to killing her ex-husband. Perhaps the garbage disposal made her realize he had said too much. I'll be curious to see if he calls back. Yes, you and me both, sir. All right, let's see. Let's do this. We'll take this one call, then I'll read the penis story, then we'll break. Hi, Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, what's going on, man? How you doing?
How can I help you, sir?
Hey, I was just going to say that if you die, young before Clyde Lewis goes, you can be sure that Clyde's going to hold a seance to try to communicate with you.
Oh, totally. And he's another guy. I ought to be creating a code word for that guy. Because, you know, otherwise he'll try to pass off an air conditioner vent turning on or something. And we had indisputable proof that Rick was in the room with us. And, you know, some janitor will squeak by with a trash card and he'll claim that it's me attempting to speak to him. So, no, that is a fair point. I should totally come up with a phrase for Clyde. Well spotted, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, thank you. There you go, that's Scott. All right, let me drink this coffee, then we'll read this horrifying penis story, which in many ways harkens back to our garbage disposal anecdotes of about an hour and a half ago. So let me finish my cup of coffee here, and then we'll talk about that.
Wow, this is compelling.
Shh. It's negative sound. It's negative imagery. It's what it is. It's like in jazz, Sarah. It's about the notes you don't play. All right. Do we have the penis watch open? Because this really should be a penis watch as well. Here's your always a fear no break.
Penis.
Your penis watch for Friday.
Bow, bow, bow. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Bow, bow, I didn't really think it was possible for a story to be so great and so terrible all at once. And I swear to God, this penis watch, this is from New Zealand? No, Africa? South Africa. This is from South Africa. It's a penis watch, and then right next to it, there's some sort of a banner ad, which I believe is for a cricket, like an online cricket thing, like, you know, that cricket, like the game with the batsman and the humble snorter, or whatever that game is. And it just says, watch exciting ball-by-ball commentary. Anywho, so this is your penis watch for Friday. This is from IOL Health. This is from South Africa. A controversial South African invention, a female condom-like anti-rape device, is almost ready to hit the market after months of waiting for patent verification. The device, known as... You want to talk about... Now, we've had many discussions on the show because I'm fascinated by jobs that don't really require you to actually create anything. I am jobs that don't require, even we sort of create something. I mean, not really, just irritation. But I mean, this is jobs that like I was talking about those jobs where it's like you get paid $1 million, you sit in a room around a table, you come up with a name for some new exciting kind of sponge cake, you know? Or whatever. What is this? Well, it's a computer chip that works really quickly. We need a name that means nothing, but that sounds really masculine. And then they pay some guy $1 billion, and he comes up with the word Pentium, which means nothing. Pentium means nothing. Made up goddamn word means nothing. It's like, medicine drug. Medicine drugs. Drugs are the same way, like Celebrex, same thing. That AirTouch cell phone company, saying the AirTouch. Just completely some guy, like $300,000, come up with that name. This company, however, could have used such a service. The device, does this sound like something you'd ever want to put anywhere near your body? The device, known as a Rapex, R-A-P-E-X. What are you doing? I'll be out of the bathroom in a moment. I'm just inserting my Rapex for the evening. The device, known as a Rapex, has stirred controversy around the world, but its inventor, Sonnet Erlis, and you know that this is a thing that's going to appear in America, and it'll be all over the news first time some guy gets his Johnson stuck in it. He's preparing the final pre-production phase after 7 years of waiting. Controversy has raged over whether the device, and I don't even have to describe this for you to know exactly what I'm talking about, this anti-rape device. The controversy has raged over whether the device, which has fish-like teeth that attach themselves to the...
Sure.
...of the penis.
Fish-like teeth?
Fish. I believe they mean fish-hook-like teeth.
Okay. I'm a little confused.
Controversy has raged over whether the device, which has fish-hook-like teeth that attach to the penis, is a medieval device built on a hatred of men, or whether it's an easy-to-use invention that could free millions of South American women from fear of rape. South Africa apparently they have a really high incidence of, and really, don't they also have like the highest HIV? You'd think that you'd... That sounds insensitive. I'm just saying. I'm just saying it sounds... I mean, really, you'd think...
Save that kind of comment for the guests.
I'm just saying... I'm just saying, clearly it's wrong, but there's just no sense of, I mean, since publicly announcing her invention 1.5 years ago, she has shot to international fame, stirring a worldwide debate about the merits of her anti-rape device. Apparently, the idea of inserting into a sensitive area of your body a thing that is filled with dozens of razor-sharp fish hooks just seems like an... Doesn't that seem like a recipe for some sort of accident? Seems like some sort of a... That seems like some sort of a bad evening in the making, even if you use it correctly. The surprise factor, that would be a surprise, wouldn't it? Will give women a chance to escape, says Ayers, explaining that the rapist would be in great pain... And 25 razor-sharp steel teeth will embed themselves in the penis.
I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm sorry.
Because it's impossible to feel sympathy for somebody who gets razor-sharp anti-rape hooks embedded in their penis. The rapist also has to contend with the fact that only a doctor can remove the fish hook-like teeth. I want this guy to be identified, she said. I want a way that will prove that penetration took place. They're going to be mass-produced in China.
Who do they test this on?
I don't know.
Anywhere. Guantanamo Bay?
I was actually just wondering that. I'm just picturing some intern in a large stack of carrots. That's what I was picturing. Just a whole lot of... And that's why you're laughing, because it's impossible to feel sorry for anybody who gets caught in this sort of a thing. I mean, no means no.
Yeah, that's creative.
And ignoring that means, hey, there are barbs all over my penis. All right. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What's up, man?
I just got a suggestion for the listener party.
Okay.
It'll eat your bones.
It'll eat your bones. All right, there you go. And it is relatable because we were doing the garbage disposal. It'll eat your bones. All right, thank you.
Love you guys.
Thank you. That's Jesse. All right, final call, then we'll take a break. Here's Jim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up, brother?
Fish-like teeth. You got to think about the shark that has a number of rows of razor-sharp teeth that face inward. So,
maybe that's what they mean. Maybe it's not a misprint. Maybe they don't mean fish-hook-like teeth. Maybe it is fish-like teeth. So where?
Fish-like teeth.
That would make sense because that would explain why you choose my words carefully. Couldn't get it off, so to speak.
Yeah. It would be very, very painful to extract that.
They used to make raccoon traps like that, where the deal is it would be like a knot hole that they would put a bright, shiny object into, and then there were a bunch of sort of like pointy nail-like things going in at an angle, and the deal is the raccoon reaches inside, grabs the shiny object, and he's too dumb to let it go, and
yeah.
As long as he's got his hand in a fist, he can't pull back against the nails. So
yeah,
that would explain, that sounds like the worst, thing you could possibly put your penis into.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You don't want to put your penis in that. But again, I think it would have been better written if you'd written it shark-like teeth.
Shark-like teeth.
Okay. Shark-like teeth.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. Listener Party 10, you don't want to put your penis in that. I'm glad we took that call. I said we weren't going to take any more, but I'm glad we took that one. Oh, good God. Well, F whoever gets stuck in that thing. I deserve it. All right, 503-BASTARDS, 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We'll take a break and come back with Tim Riley with the Ministry of Truth. Scotty J brings us the top five. Later on, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. Like is at 3, Donald Mike at 70. Stay right there. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. In just a moment, we'll rejoin Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Scotty J's Top 5, Scott Daly from FilmBeaverRadio.com. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. This is Terry on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, Terry?
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I heard about the Vito spotting in Tigard yesterday. I think it was about 12:30 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And not quite done with work, but I was there within a two-hour period. I got the last four Vitos.
Excellent. Well, do you know what flavor it was?
I got a Vigor, a Strachey, a Will. Oh, two Strachey's.
Excellent.
And a Will. But I got out of those. They have three racks there, which, you know, to be filled up. And there were only four left.
And you, so if anybody goes there now and it's completely busted out, they have you to blame for that.
No, I was afraid I was going to get skunked again, and I almost did.
Well, dude, we have that guy Seamus who orders them by, poor guy, orders them, has them FedExed by the case to Denver, where his vulture-like relatives and neighbors then descend on him and strip his cupboard bare. So
yeah, well, this 7-Eleven got stripped pretty bare pretty quick, too.
Excellent. Well, thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for buying that stuff. It's great stuff. Too, so thank you for doing that.
It's great stuff. I love it.
Excellent. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You, Terry. There you go. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, all you kids, listen up. It's spring break time. No one's going to tolerate any horseplay. Especially cheap. Roseanne Sizer. Some people call her Rosie.
Sizer?
Well, since school is out of session during spring break, curfew laws for weekends will be in effect during weeknights. So here they are. State law makes it illegal for children under the age of 14 to be in public after 10:15 p.m. on weekends.
Little hooligans.
Any of you planning on raising cane? There's going to be trouble to pay.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I've heard that a million times. Teens over 14 must be off the streets by midnight on weekends and during spring break. Older teens can stay out past midnight only if they have to work. Violators will be cited, and in some cases, parents may be fined. The curfew crackdown does not end at the Portland city limits. As a matter of fact, Gresham, they're setting aside officers who are specifically look for curfew violators. Kids out too late will be taken to Gresham City Hall and given copies of the curfew ordinance.
They're all in there. Nobody
to behave. Kids have to behave like proper Greshamians.
Kids in Gresham are all just busy. I don't know.
Creating guns. And
I was going to say they're all just busy setting up labs in their basement. Anyway, who are we kidding? I never had a curfew growing up. I'm not complaining about women. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying. I don't think. When did curfews start occurring in this country? Did you have a curfew?
No,
you didn't have to be told. You went to a prep school. You were behaving.
That, and I had a neighborhood populated by millions of relatives.
Yeah, that's true. So
you could not escape anyone's...
There's the Riley boy. Did you just call me a donkey?
No, I did not.
Okay. I swear to God, I heard you say...
I didn't even think of the word donkey.
I swear to God, I thought you ended
up with
donkey.
Are you okay? I think you drank that coffee way too fast, and now you're drinking it.
Not a donkey in prison.
Why are you calling me donkey?
No, I thought he ended the sentence with... Donkey?
No.
I'm just projecting now. I don't think there was a curve. The only thing we had was this stupid no-cruising law where you couldn't go back and forth in the street or whatever. But whatever. The curfews are pointless anyway because that just means it doesn't mean you have to be home, right? It just means you can't be wandering, out roaming the streets, as they say. Like, they don't bother to... So all you're going to do is you're just going to be in your basement huffing Krylon with all the other kids and having unprotected sex. You're just not going to be doing it where anybody can spot you. So, well done, police.
That's the way it was back in the old days.
That's exactly... Well, you know, you got to make your own fun.
Beaverton police are also increasing curfew patrols as well as drunk driving enforcement. Impaired and speeding drivers may have a hard time spotting two new Beaverton patrol cars. Apparently, the new Dodge Chargers don't look like cop cars.
They don't say what color they are.
Well, I was going to say, what do they look like, Tim?
Let's give a detailed description.
They look like Dodge Ram Chargers.
Whatever they are.
They don't have lights across the top, so if they're following someone,
it could be you.
Meanwhile, a new report says obesity is costing Texas employers $3.3 billion. And they could reach $18.8 billion by 2025 because Texans are getting bigger.
Yes, everything's bigger in Texas,
including the waistlines. The obesity war is on.
Certainly directly through paying higher health care costs and indirectly through lost productivity when their employees are sick, disabled, or not functioning up to their normal work standards.
I ain't got to work today.
Insurance premiums rose 29% from 2001 to 2004, all because of obesity.
If you're obese, you have an increased risk of costly chronic illnesses, and that could be diabetes, that could be heart disease, stroke, to name just a few.
It's time to foster a healthy Texas lifestyle.
Obesity is avoidable. It is not inevitable. And healthy lifestyle choices must be developed at an early age.
Who has to be told?
And if you don't like it, move to the coop.
who has to be told that obesity is preventable? Oh, this country. Just weep for it.
Meanwhile, social workers threatening to take away an obese North Carolina boy from his mother unless his weight declines.
I saw a picture. He's a fat little bastard.
He's a 7-year-old Justin Painter. He weighs in at 250 pounds and has been obese for the last 4 years.
I saw a picture of him. He is just a little Oompa Loompa of a bastard. He's tiny, and he's got those little beady pig-like Augustus Gloop eyes.
Nobody in North Carolina can pinpoint the cause of his obesity.
it's a mystery. I can't possibly imagine what it'd be. I thought if it's the same kid I'm thinking of, and I apologize if it's not the same kid, the apple didn't fall too far from the fat tree. That's all I'm going to say. Rick, this is two questions. Is Scotty doing another Suburban Perspective anytime soon? B, before he does, is there time to purchase a Rapex for the ears? Somebody sent us, by the way, a photograph of this Rapex, which is this sort of condom-like device.
That thing is scary looking.
They've made it in South Africa, but they're going to sell it worldwide. Well, there's a website right now. I'm looking at the website. It's like a female condom-like device that you can wear. And then, should a man ignore you when you say, don't do that?
You just hit the joystick.
Yeah, he... What?
You just hit the joystick and apparently it makes the mechanical thing work?
No, there's no joysticking allowed with this. There's no... It looks like I don't even know how to describe this. It looks like a sort of, like a test tube. It looks like a sort of largish test tube, but maybe shorter than normal. Sort of a short kind of squat test tube that is, blah, 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 worn internally. But, man, there's this close-up where there's all kinds of, like, and they are like shark teeth, like a bunch of backward-pointing shark teeth. Yeah, that goes on you. That's kind of a roaches check-in, but they don't check out kind of a thing. So, yeah, you don't want to screw with that. So how about you not be a raping bastard, and that won't happen to you. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
A gang of 6 unruly youngsters has caused almost $100,000 worth of damage to the Hogwarts Express used in the Harry Potter films. The group, some as young as 10, broke into the West Coast Railway Depot at the former Steamtown site in England and destructed the train's windows using emergency hammers. It'll take at least a month to repair because so much damage was caused.
Is this a station? Because I didn't think there was a real train. I thought the train... Is the Hogwarts Express an actual train?
I'm pretty sure.
Why? Yeah, because it was like... They were destroying it.
Yeah, because you see it going through the countryside and whatnot.
Oh, that's true. That's a fair... Well, it's like we were talking before the show about those kids that vandalized that sturgeon or whatever it is at the Bonneville Dam or the Bonneville Fish Hatchery. With some kids, what should we do tonight? How dumb do you have to be that's your evening's entertainment? You're going to go vandalize a fish that's just sitting there in a hole in the ground.
I don't understand how you... Wait, what?
Well, it's a fish. It's like, you know, it's a...
Why is the fish in a hole in the ground?
It's a, you know, whatever. It's a...
Maybe it's ice fishing.
It's a... No, it's a... You know, they make a concavity in the ground, like a little lake. Like a little tiny lake, and that's where the sturgeon is. At the bottom of the fish.
I'm confused at what's going on here.
There's fish that live in the water.
Somebody actually took the fish out of the water, dried it off, spray painted it, and threw it back in the water?
I believe that there was some spray painting of the surgeon that happened. Yes, I do believe that is the case.
Are you sure?
No. But I'm pretty sure that it happened. At the Bonneville...
Someone went to all the trouble to catch the sturgeon.
No, it was...
Spray painted it.
I don't think you have to catch... My recollection of this sturgeon, defacing that took place at the Bonneville Fish Hatchery, which I don't think I'm making up, because why would I just have made that up in my head? Why in front?
It sounds like something out of a dream.
It's like a living
dream. When you spring from your bed, and, oh my God, what did I just dream?
Oh, I thought you meant something from a dream, like something you had longed for many years. It's like it's one of the pages from my book of fantasies.
I don't think anybody spray painted a fish crazy.
Oh, Roger, I was dreaming this day would come, that you would give me a spray painted fish. I don't know why I would hallucinate such a thing.
That doesn't happen. Nobody spray paints a fish.
I haven't even told you what happened. As I understand,
it could be from that allergy medicine that you buy in the coop.
Do you remember? Did you see it on TV?
I don't know. Now, as
seen on TV,
sturgeon,
get yours today.
Or quite possibly not.
All within the next 15 minutes to get the second for 50% off.
As I understand it, You sons of bitches. I believe if you go to the Bonneville Fish Hatchery, in addition to the sort of breeding lakes where they have the trout or the salmon or whatever, there are these sort of shallow, smallish pools that there are sturgeon in. Because that's... Have you been to the Bonneville Fish Hatchery?
No.
Okay. There are...
That's too far.
They're sort of like... They look sort of like square kiddie swimming pools. You know those like trashy swimming pools that you put on your lawn when you're dirt poor? They're like that, but they're square. They're sort of very low to the ground, square fish tanks. And the gimmick is you go to these machines for like a quarter. You put a quarter in and it'll dispense some food. And then you go toss food to the sturgeon. Because the sturgeon move around inside these smallish tanks. And you can get a quarter's worth of food if you're a kid, and you go throw it in, and the sturgeon come up, and they eat the food after you throw it on the water, blah, blah, blah. And there's a big thing. They're saying, like, sturgeon are living dinosaurs, living relics of the past, you know, and then there's a whole thing about how they don't have scales, they have plates, and blah, blah, blah. As I understand it, a few years ago, some ne'er-do-wells, some hooligans, went to the Bonneville Fish Hatchery, and they spray-painted one of the sturgeon. That's as I understand it. Now, I am not saying definitively and just inexorably that that happened. Inexorably is not even the right word to be using there, but my brain has gone all watery today. I'm just saying I'm pretty sure that that happened and that there was a spray painting of a sturgeon.
Okay, so you're saying that what you recall is that somebody went to this hatchery, picked the sturgeon out of its little hole, dried it off, spray-painted it, and then the sturgeon was swimming around... With the spray paint on it.
Let's spray paint it. Yes.
Do you know how crazy you sound?
I'm not... You know, if this turns out to be true, you're going to feel very foolish, and then I'm going to expect a full apology.
I need evidence. I don't believe you.
Well, let's take this call, shall we? Sean, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
I am evidence. Rick, you're about half right, actually. The sturgeon was spray painted, but you're confusing the trout ponds with the sturgeon pond. The shallow little swimming pools are actually what they have the large bird or trout in, and that's what you can actually feed.
Okay.
The sturgeon pond is actually close to 25 or 30 feet deep, and it is fairly small, but, you know, the sturgeon they have swimming in there are over 14 feet long.
Well, I was a child, so it seemed, the pond itself seemed really, really big, but okay, all right.
Right, and there's a viewing section, which is why they spray painted the fish, so they could see the fish swim around in the water, and it was spray painted, but the fish that they took out was over 8 feet long. And they did dry it off and paint it with sort of...
Are you listening, Sarah Dillon? It was not a sturgeon, but it was an 8-foot-long fish that was spray-painted and put back in the water.
It was a sturgeon.
It was.
Using the trout ponds with the sturgeon. Uh-huh. The sturgeon pond is very large.
What did they spray-paint on it?
Ass. You know, just whatever kids would, you know, whatever.
Profanities.
Yeah, seriously.
I still don't buy it. I need to see a story.
Why would Sean call up and say that that's true if it wasn't true?
You can actually go on, and there's an article, Sarah, if you go back on Oregon Live a few years ago, you can search that article out. It is true.
Yeah, okay, cool. I've been looking for it. I'll look on Oregon Live.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
Here's another article about spray-painted chickens. Giant carrots and turnips.
What?
It says, spray-painted chickens, giant carrots and turnips.
Do you see how that sentence doesn't make any sense? Do you see how that just sounds like a bunch of words you pull out of a bag? Let's see here.
Chicken's more understandable than a fish.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Don, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I remember that story differently than the last guy also. I don't remember them spray-painting the fish. I don't know how you would dry off an 8-foot sturgeon.
Figure it out right now. This is a can-do audience.
Without it killing you, but I do remember the sturgeon being stolen. I know that happened, where they actually just took the sturgeon and never to be returned, and I believe they spray-painted the area, you know, graffiti style. That's the way I remember that.
So now are we all remembering the story differently?
Well, it could be two different episodes as well, because you know how those kids and their sturgeon are.
Yes. It seems like there's a pun there that I'm not quite getting.
No, I'm just making a general comment about
a sturgeon.
Kids.
I don't remember this. So some people stole a sturgeon from the Bonneville fish hatchery.
Yeah, they just.
What could you even do with that?
Well, who knows what they did with it, but they never got it back, and it was one of the big ones too.
Is it sturgeon that caviar come from?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, maybe it was that. Maybe they're figuring blah, blah, blah. You cut it open, there's some caviar. Hey,
right.
We're rich.
Yeah, these things are huge. They look like dinosaur-type fish, you know, like the one guy said, you know, they eight feet long.
Yeah, they are fundamentally unchanged, I believe, for the past few million years. Like, they said they don't have scales, they got plates, because they're kind of dinosaur creatures.
Yeah, so imagine drying one of those off to paint it. I don't think it's going to...
It seems like it would be easier. I swear to God, this is the most bizarre conversation. It seems like it would be pretty easy to dry off a sturgeon because of the plates, because it's, you just give it a good wiping with a towel.
But the fish, if you've ever taken a fish out of water like that, they just go crazy. They don't, and this thing can hurt, you know, break your legs. They're
sturgeon are pretty big too. That's right. Even a small fish can be really strong.
Yeah, and these are very strong. And when you take them out of the water, they just start flopping and flailing around, and you can really get hurt. So, you know, you'd have to really know what you're doing to dry one off. And
this is really perversely fascinating to me. All right, thank you, Don.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. That's Don.
So I went to Oregon Live and I put in spray painted sturgeon, and my results are. Zero.
Okay. Well, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. We've had one guy say it happened.
Now, one guy.
One crazy listener. Here's the thing. I do believe it would be easier to dry a sturgeon in terms of their body exterior, again, because of its plates, not fins. That guy, though, he's right about... You guys know what grunion are? Grunion are little tiny fish.
Yeah, they jump up on the beaches of California.
Exactly.
They're like smelt.
Smelt is a great word. Smelt's a fantastic word. No, grunion, that's my experience with grunion. In Southern California, there are a couple, and maybe in the rest of California, but especially in Southern California, grunion do this thing where...
It's suicide.
Yeah, well, it's sort of. Yeah, where it's a couple nights in August, I think, where they are...
I remember, I know where I know grunion from. It's from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Do they do grunion?
They go and watch the grunion.
Grunion running? Right.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool, actually. They come in with the waves, and the deal is they dig themselves into the sand, lay eggs, and then they try to get back out. And you're supposed to let them do that for, like... They do it for, I think, five nights, and for three of the nights, you're supposed to let them alone. But there are two nights during the grunion run when you're allowed to go down and catch them, because it's huge in the Asian community. They're all over the grunion. So if there's two nights of the grunion run, you're allowed to go down and catch them. And the deal is so weird. Laura and I did it, where the wave comes in, the wave recedes, and there's all these wriggling silver fish all over the beach, and you just pick them up, and then you can toss them in a bucket. And we were picking them up, just giving them to the other fishermen there. But these things are like 6 inches long and maybe an inch and a half around. They're not very big. It's like a Sharpie, basically. They're about the dimensions of a Sharpie pen. And, man, I swear to God, those things would wash up on the shore. You'd grab one, and it was like holding on to a miniature weightlifter. It was that thing. It was like doing everything but prying your fingers apart and kicking you in the head. I mean, those things were unbelievably strong. They must just be pure muscle. There must be just no fat on those to speak of whatsoever. Those grunion did everything but break your fingers to get out. I mean, they were incredibly strong for just being, again, 6 inches long at most. I can't imagine how you would hold on to an 8-foot sturgeon. That guy's totally right. The thing would break your spine. It would. If a sturgeon flapped its tail, it would totally break one of your legs. There's no way. All right.
Take out your kidneys.
Sturgeon will take out your kidneys, children. Be afraid. It's 503-733-2970. We should break. Here's what we'll do. We'll do the following things in this order. I will read this email about suggested listener party names. We will break. I will come back. I will get a couple sturgeon calls. Then we will have Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Then the top five. Then Scott Daly. Rick. Oh, this is about the... this is about the... Is that the sturgeon thing? Oh, no. This is the... this is about the rapex thing, the anti-rape kind of. It's just terrifying to look at. I mean, again, it's not that, whatever. I mean, you decide to be a criminal, you get what's coming to you. It is terrifying to look at. Rick, I think this may be another case of foreigners not knowing what words mean. Rapex has the equivalent mental image of something on the lines of, sorry, I'll be right out, I'm in stuff. He said, okay, he says, this is his point. He said, I believe that rapex is maybe unpleasant, but it's an easier name to market than vagino bear trap. No, that is true, sir. That doesn't really sound like something you'd want to insert in your body. Listener party names. Since it is memorabilia and history of the show related, Rick Emerson, listener party 10, Nostalgiageddon. A reject retrospect. How about this one?
A reject retrospect, that's funny.
Rick Emerson, listener party 10. Now you stab mommy. Let's never call it that. Let's not ever use that. It's 503-733-2970. You stay right there. Back after this. Tim Riley next. More of these disturbing phone calls. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're so sorry.